Well, I think it's time for an enlightening couple hours. Tanya Carol Richardson with us. We're going to talk about her work, Angel Insights, inspiring messages and ways to connect with your spiritual guardians. Let's talk about that. And I can't wait till we take your phone calls later on Coast to Coast AM. Well, let me tell you a little bit about our guest, Tanya Richardson is a self-improvement spiritual author and professional intuitive, very passionate about her subject matter, angels. She's been writing about angels, interviewing people about their encounters with angels for more than a decade, a regular contributor to BeliefNet.com. Tanya Carol Richardson, here she is with her work, Angel Insights. Hi, Tanya. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited to be here.
I love talking about angels, especially as we get closer and closer to Christmas, and we're not that far away anymore.
I know. It's amazing how angels fly and time flies, too.
How come angels are always depicted with wings?
That's an interesting, great question, George. I think that, first of all, angels appear to us in so many different ways. They can appear to us as humans, like they do in It's a Wonderful Life. They can appear to us as a sort of white vapory mist. They can appear to us as a bright light. They can also appear to us as a series of small colored lights that kind of dance across your field of vision. And of course, traditionally, we have them depicted with wings. And that is just one of their divine states that they will show themselves to us as. And they actually do show themselves that way. And I have seen an angel that way with wings. It's a very arresting sight to see an angel appear before you with wings.
I bet they're huge, aren't they?
Oh, you nailed it on the head. They are enormous. And that is the trait that makes the most impression on you when you see an angel. The wings are absolutely enormous. Not only are they enormous, but you get a sense immediately, energetically, of the power of those wings. They're just massive and have a massive amount of power, covered with hundreds of white feathers. And when you see it, it's very shocking because you think, oh, I thought this was just some kind of fairy tale, these beings with wings. But when they show themselves to you that way, it's quite powerful, because that is the way that we have been taught to think of them since we were children.
Tanya, tell us a little bit more about you as we get into this.
Sure. So I'm a professional intuitive or psychic. I do readings with people all over the world, and I really rely heavily on angels. All psychics and mediums have their own process, and I just work very, very closely with angels. And it's fun in a reading because several angels, not only angels, but of course ascended masters, spirit guides, loved ones who have passed on, can all show up in a reading. But most of all, angels will show up. And not only someone's guardian angels will show up, but usually an archangel will show up, and several what I call helper angels who will show up and say, oh, I want to help your client with this specific task that they, or this specific issue they need help with. So it's kind of like I always say when I do a reading, you know, the deli counter, where is that now you're being served and people take a number. I've got angels who have taken
exactly
a number, and they're so eager to work with people. I mean, they really have an eagerness about them, and they're so excited to jump into someone's life. And with our free will, we can invite them into our life to do that work with us at a more powerful level.
What is your definition of what an angel is?
Well, it's a tricky thing, and it's a mystery in this dimension I don't think any of us will ever really understand. But angels are, first of all, I like to emphasize, they're non-denominational beings. A lot of people will think of angels as just a Christian concept, but angels themselves, the entities, will work with anyone of any faith. They'll work with people who are atheists, who have no faith. They'll be working for those people behind the scenes. But angels will work with people of any denomination or any faith or any spiritual bent. So you should always feel free to call them in. And angels exist in another dimension, primarily, that we know as heaven commonly. And they are really our guardians and helpers. They are our co-creators here on earth. And they've signed on to help us through this earthly journey. And they're our partners, although they're reminding me right now they're often our silent partners. And some people will go their whole lives and never realize that their guardian angels and other angels have indeed been working and advocating for them behind the scenes their whole life.
Tanya, when we read Genesis and we read the escapades of the fallen angels, in your opinion, what are we talking about there?
You know, George, it's interesting. I think everyone has their milieu and everyone has things that resonate with them and that they speak to. I have never personally encountered a fallen angel. I've never worked with an angel in my practice or had any kind of
All
entity
right.
that I would consider a fallen angel contact me. So
I push the ET agenda.
right, yeah, and I think that's a very valid agenda. Like I said, you know, there are so many, the angels are reminding me right now, there are so many, there are infinite number of dimensions and other worlds out there. So angels are just one type of entity from one dimension that is contacting us. So there are all kinds of, as you well know, there are all kinds of creatures out there that are contacting us, and angels are just one sort. So you're absolutely right. It could very well be alien encounters that they're discussing in Genesis.
You, of course, are a believer in God, right?
Yes, I usually term it spirit because I feel like that's just a term that most people are can kind of get behind, but yes, for sure.
Okay, let's get into how you started working and believing in angel work and then your relationship with them.
Yeah, I started. I have always been incredibly spiritual. I've always been very strongly psychic and intuitive. I have your audience members are probably familiar with the four clairs, where you have clairaudience. That's where you hear intuitive voices. Clairvoyance. That's the term that people a lot of times will use to describe psychics. But what it really means is that you get not you you don't get voices, but you get images that come into your mind's eye that explain things to you in kind of a metaphorical way. It can be really fun. And then there's claircognizance. That's where you get a download from heaven. You just understand something very quickly. And then clairsentience is where it's the most common of the intuitive gifts. Many people have it. It's where you get a feeling for something. So people will get gut instincts and get chills. So I've always had those things operating. And I was very interested in ascended masters and spirit guides and this type of stuff. And angels, honestly, in the beginning, never really resonated with me. I think because I don't identify as Christian, although I have many Christian clients and I respect that religion. I don't personally identify that way. So I thought, oh, well, this is just a lovely Christian concept from the Bible. It's probably kind of a parable, and that's wonderful. But I was never drawn to angels until I actually saw one appear before me. And then I think I had that experience to help draw me in and make me realize just how real angels were. And from there, I just became fascinated. And now I really am an angel expert. I've talked to so many people about their encounters and work with angels all the time. But I actually was drawn into it kind of as a non-believer in angels.
I've had three stories that I'm not talking about ghosts now because I've got
Right.
many of those stories, but three angelic stories, Tanya, that have come my way. I'll quickly share them with you,
Great.
and I'm sure we'll get a lot when we get open up the phone lines. But there was a truck driver who called me once and said that he had fallen asleep around a windy road, and on the other side of the wind, of course, was a cliff. And he would have gone right over it, right over it. He said, just as he woke up, just before he was ready to go over the edge, a hand grabbed his steering wheel and pulled him back onto the road, and he just snapped out of his sleep, and he was okay. He took over, but there was nobody in the cab.
That's a very, very common angel story. Angels helping someone. Often people might be drowning, and suddenly, just as you
I was going
described.
to give you, that's my second one. You ready for that
Okay.
one? A guy calls and says he's out about 100 meters in the ocean, lots of his friends on the beach, and he's out swimming, and he gets pulled down by a current and an undertow, and he said he's gone. He is gone, and he's underwater by a foot or so, going down. He's in the ocean, and God knows how long how deep it is. He sees a hand break through the water in down into his, and he reaches up and it pulls him up, and he's gasping. He's 300 feet offshore. He's gasping for air. He turns to thank the person for saving his life. There's nobody there. Nobody there.
Yes, that is, it sounds odd to say, but that is textbook angel encounter. They really save you when you're on the brink of something
Yeah.
like that, maybe in a fire, And often, just as you said, all people see is the hands or feel the hands pulling them away. It's very common for people in agriculture, farmers, to have that experience when something goes wrong with the machine, feel the hands pull them away.
Then there was a woman who called and said that she went out into her garage and her son had hung himself.
Mm.
And it was just the beginning stage of that process. He was not dead yet. And she tried to get him down. She tried to lift him up. Tried to release the pressure of the rope on his neck.
Goodness.
And she couldn't do it. I mean, he was just too heavy for her. And he was there dying. And she was just screaming for help. And she said someone came in the garage. Now, keep in mind the garage door is closed. Somebody comes into the garage and helps lift her up to the point where they were able to get enough slack on the rope and she was able to get him down or get the rope untied. There was nobody else there.
Yeah.
She saw somebody there, but there was nobody there.
Yeah, and I got chills as you were telling me that last story, George, because it's so powerful for people to know that as you told the story, I could feel the desperation from that woman. You know, what an insanely,
oh,
she must
horrible.
Have been so,
horrible.
So desperate and so beside herself. And to know that angels are telling me they want us to know that they are, in those moments, they are always right beside us, always, always, no matter what the outcome is. When we are in that state, they're around us all the time, but especially when we're in that state, they're around us.
Are they assigned to us? Because I've always heard that we have guardian angels. We've had guardian angels since we were born.
Yes, that's absolutely true. But one thing that I like to tell people and add that people may not be aware of is we each have more than one guardian angel.
Ah, okay.
So you're really covered. And guardian angels were assigned to you before you were born, as you said. And often the idea of past lives resonates with you, guardian angels have been with you in other lives as well, so they know you very well. And I always like to describe guardian angels as having a very, very maternal energy. So no matter what experience you've had with your own mother, which of course it's a very complex relationship, I'm talking about an archetypal maternal energy.
Mm-hmm.
And they really love you that way. They're always like a mother is always watching after her toddler. It's that kind of devotion and that kind of energy that the guardian angels have. And guardian angels are just your angels. So your guardian angels, George, are just assigned to you. They're with you all day. You're their only case, you know, they're a private eye and you're their only case.
They're working full time for me then.
They are working full time for you, George.
Why in some cases, if we all have guardian angels and backup angels, do bad things happen to some people? They die, they get into car crashes, horrible things happen to them, life is miserable. For some people, why haven't their angels stepped in to help them?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite questions to talk about, and it's we could talk so long about that question because, as you probably know, there are so many things that go into our experience, this earthly experience. There's so many factors that feed into that. One is our fate, things that are destined to happen to us. Another is our free will, things that we choose to do. I always like to remind people that humans are incredibly powerful spiritual beings. People who listen to your show and read my type of books love to hear about ascended masters and these really powerful spiritual beings. And I always want to ground them in the fact that humans are incredibly powerful spiritual beings, and we've been given a free will because of that. And we exercise that every day hundreds of times, and those actions have repercussions, both positive and challenging. So your free will is huge in creating your reality. Also, the free will of others. You know, if you think about things like World War II, we were at the mercy of some disturbing free wills there that we all had to rally against and rise above. So other people's free wills, greater forces that are energetically at work in the world and creating things happening are also part of our reality. And the angels always like to tell me that they always want to intervene for every person, because someone might be hearing that beautiful story you shared and think, well, my son did kill himself, and where were my angels? Where were his angels? And angels have told me that there are times when the way they described it to me, their wings are tied and they're not allowed to intervene. And that opens up a whole nother discussion. Are people supposed to pass at a certain time? I think that's true. And I think certain things can happen that look negative on the surface, but in a greater sense, they contribute to the enlightening of the planet. They contribute to the spiritual growth of an individual. They have other things that resonate after the act. And there's also something I like to talk about called the black and white nature of God. I think that Earth is not necessarily a place where our souls manifested so that we could just have a good old time. I think Earth is a dimension that needs its enlightenment level raised, as we all know. There's lots of negative forces at work on this dimension. And I think many of us have come here to raise that level of enlightenment. And the angels are reminding me right now that's a hand-to-hand combat mission.
It sure is.
You're going to get down in the muck. I'm getting images from the angels of World War II and World War I and people in the trenches. That's the kind of battle that we're fighting here. So it's not always going to be pretty for any of us. And in a spiritual sense, it wasn't meant to. We're also meant to learn and grow here. And part of learning and growing is having your heart broken at times. But for angels, they want us to know that they can feel our emotions as if they were their own. Angels are incredibly sensitive beings, so they always want to spare us any pain and any suffering. They just aren't always able to do that. And with the black and white nature of God, I think that God is neither this being in the sky that can control everything and save us from every bad thing that happens, nor in the atheist model is God something that doesn't exist at all. Those are two extremes. So I always invite people to come somewhere into the middle. You know, life happens in the gray areas. God is in the gray areas. And that's my answer to that, George. I hope that's not too long-winded.
No. You know, I love the poem Footprints in the Sand. You've read it?
Oh, of course.
Oh, my. And I wonder how many people. But I'm going to read it real fast because I normally don't do this. I'm not religious by any means, Tanya, but I'm very spiritual.
Sure.
And so for the word Lord, folks, think of angels, too. One of the same. It says, one night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you. You'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. And I just love that poem.
It's amazing. And it touches
it sells
me every
it all.
Time I read it. And as you just read it, it touched me again. And as you were reading it, George, I got the intuitive flash from the angels that, you know, they are, you came to that point in the poem where you say, when I came to the end of my life, when they see us at the end of our life, when we meet our angels face to face, they are so proud. They're like beaming parents thinking, you made it through, honey. We are so proud of everything you accomplished, everything you weathered. Angels have so much admiration and respect for us, and they really are honored to be our co-creators on Earth, because as I always tell people, being a human on planet Earth is not an easy gig for anyone.
No, not at all. Stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. Tanya Carol Richardson with us, her book, Angel Insights, website. Her name linked up at coasttocoastam.com. TanyaRichardson.com is the website, of course. And next hour, we'll open up the lines and we'll take your phone calls and definitely share your angelic stories with us, if you will. But I've got so much more to talk with her about when we come back on Coast to Coast, including, of course, what types of angels are out there and what do they do. And, you know, who assigns them to us? Is there that big boss? Let's find out. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Tanya Carol Richardson with us, Angel Insights. I guess, Tanya, and there's so many things I want to talk with you about before we get to calls next hour about angels, but when you talk about good, I guess you also have to talk about bad or evil. And is there an alternative? Is there a counter to what an angel is? We call them, what, devils, demons? Do they exist?
Well, what they're telling me right now, George, is that lots of times those are confused spirits that are trapped in kind of the hell they've made themselves. And it's interesting, one thing that I do sometimes with clients is they will say, oh, you know, this isn't my beloved dead grandmother or my father or whomever, but I feel someone in the house. You know, I feel, and sometimes they will get the extreme paranormal things where the lights are being turned off and on. Occasionally, children who are very sensitive will actually see someone in their room or have an interaction that's obviously very upsetting. And what the first thing that I tell people is let's begin at least by treating this entity or thinking of it in a loving sense, because lots of times these ghosts, of course, not everything is true for this case, but lots of times what we term as these annoying ghosts are really spirits that are kind of trapped between worlds and they don't know how to go home, the angels are reminding me. They don't know how, and they're scared to go into the light. Often they were very traumatized during their life here, or they had a traumatic death, or were very upset about something when they passed. And so they're hanging around a space that they feel is safe and is actually not safe and not appropriate for them to be in. So the first thing I try and do with clients is say, well, let's switch into a loving mode and at least think of this entity in a loving way as someone that needs our help and is confused and is possibly a damaged, wounded person. And then the angels help us move that entity into the light. So the angels are reminding me that, you know, angels love to talk to me in percentages. So they're saying that 90% of the time, that's what you're dealing with, as opposed to something that just is a really negative force that you don't want to deal with, you want to get away from, it's not safe. And they're saying that the problem is that 10% of what you're terming as evil has a very strong resonance, and it can do a lot of damage. So it feels like there's more evil out there in the world than there actually is, the angels are telling me.
Now, there are, you have mentioned, three types of angels. Let's have you describe them again.
Sure. So there's the guardian angels, which we already went over and so many people are familiar with. The main thing to remember there is that you have more than one. You can communicate with them anytime. They're with you all the time. And the angels have reminded me during the break that they really, communication with angels is so important, especially angels are always working with you and advocating for you. But because you're a powerful spiritual being, use that free will to call them in more. And communicating with an angel, that sounds kind of like a heavy concept. It's actually very easy. Just start by sending them messages through your prayers or meditations or journals or just even your random thoughts, and that's angel communication. Other angels that could come to you when you're communicating with angels, and of course these are angels you can call in specifically, are archangels. It's another concept people are very familiar with. And in my book, Angel Insights, I do have a list of major archangels and their specialties. Archangels are very powerful angels, and they kind of are generals in the angel army, if you will, or conductors in the angel orchestra. And they look over other angels, and they are like ascended masters in the sense that they can be with many people at once. So if I call in Archangel Michael, who's a protector, to help me with something, someone on the other side of the world in Australia could be sleeping, and he could be watching over them at the same time. They can be with multiple people at once. And the thing I like to remind people about archangels is they have a specialty. Look up what their specialty is and call in the one that you think can best help you with your situation. Sometimes archangels are reminding me now they will just volunteer and come in on their own. But don't be intimidated about working with archangels. And don't think, oh, my problems are too small to call in an archangel. They're really hardworking, and they love to be helping people. So you will not be pulling an archangel away from, say, helping Syrian refugees or something if you call an archangel in to help you. And then the third type of angel that I describe in the book, which is a really fun type of angel, and I've gotten a lot of feedback from the book about this type of angel of people calling this angel in, is called a helper angel. And in our modern times, we're familiar with the concept of freelancers. So these helper angels are freelance angels. They're just wandering around looking for somebody to help. And they all have specialties, just like archangels, and they can get very specific. You can call in a helper angel to help you find the perfect home with your realtor. You can call in a helper angel to help you with your PR for a book you're promoting. You can call in a healing helper angel to help support you if you're going through something like chemotherapy. So helper angels are out there, and all you have to do to hire one is say, I want a helper angel to help me with this. I'm going prom dress shopping, and I want to find the perfect prom dress at a great price. Can a helper angel just come along and be on this shopping mission with me today? And helper angels will stay with you as long as they need to until the task is done, whether that takes a day or if that takes years or a lifetime.
Well, sure does. Tanya, since you've been doing this, are you noticing a change with the angels in terms of their attitudes towards humans?
No, I don't. I think that the thing that angels, I think, want us to know most right now, I think many people are sensing that things feel chaotic right now. There's so much change happening in the world. There's a lot of, you know, I'll call them, instead of evil, less enlightened forces, kind of battling more enlightened forces. There's a lot of big changes happening, and that always brings up a lot for people, a lot of fear, a lot of people pushing back against those big changes. There's regime changes. There's, you know, a fair amount of uncertainty. And the angels just want to say that their change, as you asked, between for us is that they're just holding us tighter than ever. And they want us to know that this is not the end. This is not end times we're seeing, or the beginning of end times. And that just to stay the course and to ride the storm out, as the classic rock song says.
Well, indeed. Now, when you talk about the possibility that angels, of course, have come here, they're watching us, they're assisting us. Let me ask you about the relationship to God or a God. How are they created? By a God?
Well, it's interesting. I always say that when I, you know, often angels will tell me things that make good sense to my ego. I can wrap my mind around it logically. But the most interesting things that angels tell me are the things that I don't understand immediately and will probably never understand living in this dimension. And one of the things that angels told me while I was writing the book, Angel Insights, is that everything in heaven exists as a thought. So when they told me that, my thought was, wow, that's very deep and I don't quite understand that and possibly never will. But I always like to tell people that the laws of physics that we deal with on the earth plane are very fixed, and the laws of physics in heaven, the angels have told me, are completely different, and they say a better way to understand it is there are no laws of physics in heaven. So I think angels can be, and we are, created as a thought, if you can wrap your mind around that. God, and in my opinion, what resonates with me and what I feel is very true when I check in with the angels about it, is that God both is an entity and something that exists outside of us, and it also is a part of each of us. So that's the mystery. Is God someone separate from us helping control all this? Yes. Are you and I also God in a way? Yes. And that's the funny thing about faith and spirituality, is you have to get comfortable with ideas that somewhat contradict each other logically. Am I expressing myself?
Yeah, and in terms of the creation of the angels, was there, as Genesis talks about, and again, it's interpretation, but was there this jealousy of humans and angels?
No, I don't think they're saying that more we should think of it as a camaraderie. The angels have told me that they are close to, even though they're from a different dimension, they say they're the cousins of humans. So there are a lot of similarities between angels and humans, also almost like in species of animals. And angels, often people will think of them kind of as two-dimensional props, or, you know, these entities from another dimension that we could never really relate to. They have hearts and feelings and souls just like we do. So they're actually much more like humans than we think. And there really is a sense of a camaraderie. And as I said before, angels really do respect and admire humans. That's why they're dedicating their whole lives to advocating for us. They really want to help us bring this dimension to a new level of enlightenment and help us, whatever our individual mission is within that larger mission. Angels are dedicated, just like, I hate to use the battlefield metaphor again, but just like soldiers are dedicated to their cause when they really believe in it, angels are dedicated to us.
Can they take on physical form?
Oh, yes, and they do. They do that when it's necessary, though. They only do it when it's necessary. As the angel took on a physical form to prove to me that angels exist, that was one of my guardian angels. And also, as we said before, angels will take on a physical form, sometimes to help us in very dramatic ways. They'll take on human form. It's very common. If they're going to save us from an accident, something like that, give us a dire warning. But other times, angels will take on human forms just to help us in very small ways. Lots of times, people will say, you know, oh, I was so busy with this, and I was in the grocery store, and I couldn't find a cart, and this man came out of nowhere with this cart, and he told me, you know, put his hand on my shoulder and told me I'm a great mother and I'm doing a great job, and then I looked up and he was gone. So sometimes angels will take on physical form just to give us a little boost, you know, just to change a flat tire where it's not really a life and death situation, but they just want to interact with us for a moment and give us that little boost that makes you think, hey, you know, life's good, everything's okay. I don't know who that guy was, but he really made me feel positive. So that's another way angels can interact with us in human form.
Do you have to summon up the angel, or does it step up to the plate by itself?
They're telling me now that usually when angels interact with you in a human form that way, the angel is stepping up on their own. But as far as summoning angels, that's really your, you know, if you think of a wizard with their wand, really your magic wand is your free will. And so if you call upon Archangel Michael or Archangel Gabriel, that way they will come. That is your magic wand to summon those entities. Now, sometimes they will come on their own. I found out that Archangel Uriel had been working with me the whole time I was writing my book, and I wasn't really aware of it to the end process. So often those archangels will be in your life without your knowledge, but it's very powerful to call them in with your free will, because that's when you activate that co-creation as a powerful spiritual being and say, hey, I'm aware you're there. I'm aware that I'm here to do great things. Let's power up and let's really do this.
What is the intuition spectrum?
The intuition spectrum is a term I use to describe people's natural intuitive ability. And I say in the book, people are all different, are very unique, and people all have their own different talents and things that they're good at or they're naturally lean towards. So some people are good at math, some people are good at basketball, we're all good at a couple of different things. And some people are very high on the intuition spectrum, like I am, they're in the more extreme end.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people, many people who are listening to this show might be in the higher end. They also might be in that middle end. And then there's the opposite end. And the angels gave me a great metaphor to describe it. I was actually doing a intuitive session with a woman who had several children, and different children fell somewhere differently on that intuitive spectrum. And the first child they showed me was like a clear window. So spirit was on the other side, and it was a clear window. It was nice and clean. This child could see right through to spirit. She was already talking to angels and ghosts and things like that at a very young age. So that was one child. There was another child that was in the middle, and that child was able to sense spirit. It felt real to her. She did have some experiences. And the way they showed me that child is they said that she, have you ever, you look at a shower and, you know, sometimes you'll have that marbled frosted glass. You can't see right on the other side of what exactly spirit is, but you can make out, you know, you can make out someone's body in the shower.
You know, something's there.
Shower.
Yeah.
So that's where people in the middle are. And then people on the end spectrum, there was a child in the family on the end spectrum, and they showed me that child through a visual metaphor as a blackout curtain. You know, sometimes you'll put that blackout curtain where you don't want any light to come in. You really want to get some sleep. That's how that child's window to spirit was. It was just a blackout curtain. Now, it doesn't make any of these children more intelligent, smart, capable, wonderful people. It's just the way they're wired naturally. But what I tell people is no matter where you are on that intuition spectrum naturally, you can dramatically and significantly increase your intuition just by learning about it, practicing it, and trying to improve it. I mean, you would be really amazed at how much you can move around on that spectrum if you try to consciously.
It is amazing at how it all works. There is good, there is evil, as we've talked about. What about heaven and hell?
That's such an interesting discussion, George. And heaven and hell, the way the angels have described it to me is that hell is not a separate place from heaven. It is an experience, they said, that exists within heaven. So hell, as the angels have explained it to me, is you're a soul. We all go to the same place, but if someone has done something, say something terrible, like they did a mass shooting or something like that, they will go to a place where they will have to feel all the emotions of the people that they hurt. They will have to feel the full ramifications, just like we do looking at the news thinking, oh my Lord, you know, all the emotions we feel. They'll feel that times a million. But it's not done as a punishment like we think of with hell. It's done so that they can learn, so that there are some repercussions for their actions, so that these actions won't be repeated. And the people, and there are angels surrounding them, and there is, and they said that there's an ascended master there with them. They said that ascended master is usually Jesus, because he is there for us when we're in our most low and we're suffering. He's there to help us carry that cross. So people who go to quote-unquote hell, will they suffer? Yes. Will they feel extreme pain and sadness and all this range of emotions? Yes. Will it be a harrowing experience? Yes. But the action behind it is loving. Does that make sense?
It sure does. It sure does. And now when you deal with them, is it easy for you or is it difficult?
Dealing with angels?
Yeah.
Oh, it's very, it comes, the angel just told me to describe it. It comes very naturally. So I'm getting, as I said before, I get angelic voices, I get the images, I get the clear audience downloads from heaven. I get that all day long. But the interesting thing is, and this is kind of a good distinction to make, you know, sometimes people will hear voices because, bless their hearts, they're mentally ill. And those voices are very tormenting. They happen all the time. That's not what I'm experiencing. I'm a very even-keeled, happy-go-lucky gal, and angels, when they are interacting with you, it will never feel like you're being tormented or that it's incessant and you can't get them to shut up. It's just, I was reminded over the break, usually the way they speak to you is kind of like Yoda with Luke Skywalker.
Really? They have that kind of sound to it, huh?
Well, it's very, they don't say much, but it's very dense.
Do you hear,
right to the point.
Do you hear harp music around them?
No, I don't. Sometimes they will play me music, and I will hear music playing in my mind as if I'm listening to the stereo, but it's always a song that has some kind of personal meaning for me or a client. It's not usually just classical or harp music or anything like that.
Okay, we're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with Tanya Carol Richardson, author of Angel Insights. She also has a book called Forever in My Heart. It's about grief. We're going to take your phone calls and your angelic stories. I want to hear your intervention stories where something happened to you or somebody you know that dramatically altered your life. Check in with us in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.